in our midst. We thank you for every blessing that we have. Lord, the eternal life, the fellowship that we have with the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fellowship that we have with each other. And we thank you, Lord, for the multitude of blessings that you have poured out upon us. Now, Father, as we sit at your feet, we pray that you would move upon us, that the Spirit of God would permeate our hearts and our minds to receive this word today. Lord, that it would not just find our heart, but it would motivate us to action. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been here lately, you may remember that over the past several weeks, I've been talking about fighting the good fight of faith. And, you know, we've seen that God has called us to be bold. He's called us to walk with confidence. He's called us to be courageous Christians and also to be conquering, even more than conquering, warriors. And he wants us to understand this incomparably great power that is available to us who believe, that's inside of us. So today I want to talk about something that goes along with that, and it's absolutely vital to for every one of us if we want to be that bold, courageous, conquering Christian that goes on to fight the good fight and come out a winner. We need to have an expectation that God is going to move on our behalf. An expectation that God is going to move on our behalf. We need to be looking for and expecting God to show up and move in any area of our life, in every area of our life, at any time. Maybe some of you might remember back years ago, there was this super drug that came out. It was back in the mid-90s, and it was called Fen-Phen. Remember that? Anybody? I knew a guy that started taking that, and he was amazed. He couldn't believe what was happening. He was dropping weight like crazy, and that's what it was. It was a diet pill. And he told me, he says, I don't even have an appetite anymore. It killed my appetite. And he was excited about that. He said, I gotta set the alarm on my watch to remember to eat. And he and millions of other people thought it was great because it was helping them to lose weight. And then the reports started coming in of collapsing heart valves, heart attacks, circulatory problems, all kinds of other serious problems, and it ended up being banned by the FDA. You know, God gave us that appetite for a reason. It's not just a byproduct of something. And when our body needs fuel, it sends out a signal. It's just like the signal in our car. We get maybe a little bell or a light that shines that says we need gas. We need fuel for our car. So we know when to go fill it up. Well, our appetite rings this bell too, and it tells our body that we need fuel. And then there's an expectation in our body that something's going to come in, that food will come in. And if we don't eat, we die. Have you ever seen a nest full of baby birds? It's pretty cute. I've seen it. I used to see them all the time when I was a little kid because I climbed trees all the time. And you see a nest, and there's four or five little baby birds in there, and all their mouths are going like this. You ever notice that? And they're all, when mom comes around with a worm, they're chirping, and their mouths are about a mile wide. You can't believe how these little things, it looks like their mouth is bigger than their head. And they scream as loud as they can. They open their mouth as wide as they can because they want that food. And sometimes there's a little sick baby bird in there, and it doesn't open its mouth. And it dies. We often find that the natural has a spiritual counterpart. Just like our natural appetite, we also have a spiritual appetite that God put in us. He put it in us inside of us to stimulate us, to seek Him out. And the Holy Spirit's always working in us to try to stimulate that appetite. And we have to learn to recognize the signal, just like that bell in our car, so that we can be looking for what God is going to do, so that we can recognize that God wants to work in our life. God wants us to hunger and thirst for Him. He wants us to see that we taste Him and to see that He is good. He wants us to open up the mouths of our hearts, just like those little birds, wide in expectation for His filling. There's a scripture in Psalm 81:10. It says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it." He's not talking about food. God is saying, I rescued you from, says Egypt, he means from the world system, from a lost and dying world. Now look to me. Expect me to come and know that I want to fill you with my goodness. I want to fill you with, you know, my power. I want to fill you with me, and I don't want you to try. He's telling us he doesn't want us to try to go run back to Egypt like they do, like those people wanted to, if you remember, and try to fill up with the things of the world, to try to fill that, the bell that God is ringing for our spiritual appetite. We sometimes don't recognize it's God, and we know we want, and so we go after things. God wants us to run after Him. There is no need that we can have, that our body, mind, or spirit can have, that God cannot fill. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Jesus Christ." All your needs. There's a scripture in Luke, I'm sure most of you have heard it. Jesus said to His disciples, it's in Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Jesus said to His disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" In other words, He doesn't want us to worry about anything. And then it goes on in verse 29, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them." See, God knows everything we need. So He tells us then to seek first His kingdom, and then all these other things will come to us, will be given to you as well. God's trying to tell us in His Word that we don't have to worry about having, about getting. You know, what He wants us to worry is about receiving from Him. About getting from Him, not from the world. To get whatever we need. Because He can supply all our needs. To be on the lookout. He wants us to be on the lookout for Him. For His provision. For His way. For His word. For His help. Expecting God to move. Ephesians 3:29 says that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to His power at work in us. If He can do more than we could ever even ask for or imagine, He can fill every single need we have. What happens when we expect to see God moving in our life? Whenever we have an expectation of good things coming, first thing that comes to my mind is Christmas. You ever remember at Christmas when you were a little kid? And I don't know how you were, but I remember when I was a little kid, did you sneak down and try to figure out what was in the boxes? You know, you come down, you're shaking the boxes. If you're upstairs, you're down on the stairway, you're trying to listen, you're trying to see, is Santa Claus coming? you know, we have this excitement that begins to build up. We begin thinking about, are we going to get this thing that we asked for? Are we going to get that thing? Are we going to get what we really want? You know, is that big one there for me? My parents used to put, they wouldn't put the names on the boxes until the last night, so we couldn't tell whose was whose. Now, when you're an adult, things change. Now you start getting excited about other things. You get excited about the marriage that's coming up, or maybe that first date, or maybe you're going to go on a trip, you know, on a second honeymoon or something like that, or maybe it's a job interview, or maybe it's, you know, a new home or a new car, and we have these things, and this excitement begins to build inside of us. Why? Because we have an expectation of something that's coming. God wants us to have that kind of expectation for Him. Because He's coming. He's coming into our life every day. He's sending things our way every day. He's always at work. He's always doing something. He's not still. God is moving in our midst. And He wants us to have an expectation that thing is, whatever is going on, is going to involve us to be looking for that thing. That He will be working in our life so that we can have this expectation of new adventures or new opportunities, new discoveries, great victories. Maybe victories over our old habits and things like that. Growing stronger. Abundant blessings coming our way. Whatever it might be. Our eternal reward. Thinking about that. Great expectations. Expecting God to move gives us strength. It encourages us. It gives us strength to overcome obstacles and, you know, and to face challenges, to get out there in the fight and to endure in the battles that we face. Because we know that God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. We have that expectation that He will be there by our side. He tells us, be bold and be strong. I will go out before you. I will fight for you. I will give you the victory. We need to expect that. We need to have an expectant heart. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard?" In other words, are you not expecting? Are you not expecting? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth, and He does not grow tired or weary. And His understanding, no one can fathom. He knows everything we need. He's the supplier of our needs. And He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. You ever fall, Ricardo? Yep, so have I. I think we've all fallen. Nate, have you ever fallen? You ever tripped? See, the young guys stumble and fall. Bob, I know Bob's got to stumble and fall sometime. Yeah. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Have you not heard? Aren't you expecting that? See, that's what God's trying to tell us. Expect Me to give you strength. Expect Me to help you not be faint or tired or weary. Expect Me to come to your aid. God's not going to run out of steam. And He'll be there for us. He's always there for us. We have to look for Him. Another expectation we need to have is that God has accepted us. That He loves us and He welcomes us into His presence. He's not going to run away. He's not going to close His door. He's not going to tell us His appointment book is fixed. That's not how God works. He's always available. The sign always says in, open. God doesn't see us as beggars He doesn't see us as someone coming in to steal from him. He sees us as sons and daughters. And don't you want to bless your sons and daughters? He expects us to come to him. And he wants us to expect that he will receive us with joy. And he will. There are so many things that God wants to do in our lives. Every one of us. So many ways that he wants to help us, to guide us, to use us for his glory. But if our heart is closed to his love, to his kindness, to his direction, to the leading of his Holy Spirit, if we don't open the eyes of our heart wide, we'll never see all the blessings and all the things that he wants to do. We won't recognize it. We won't know what's coming. So we got to keep our eyes open. We got to keep looking like, what is God doing? What's going on here? Our lack of expectation will only limit us or hurt us. It'll stop us from what God wants to do in our life, and we don't want that. The more we expect, the more will happen. Because we'll see it coming, and we'll go for it. I'm telling you, if we close our eyes, we're not going to get it. If we never came down on Christmas morning, if we never went over to that tree and looked for our gifts, if we don't get anything. So how do we do this? How do we train ourselves to look to God, to have that expectation so that God can move on our life? Well, first and foremost, we need to study God's Word. That's always the place to begin. We gotta, as we study His Word, we get to know His character. We get to see what He's done in the past. And that's going to tell us what He's going to do in the future. We get to see His love for us. We get to understand His ways and sort of get an idea how He could work in our life. We get to know Him on a personal level. God will stir up our spirit, fill us with His Spirit. Colossians 3:16 tells us to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. There are so many different words for us in the Bible, so many promises that we can take into our life, so many treasures to be mined in the Word of God. But why would you go out and mine a treasure if you had no expectation? Who would want to go dig in a mine of hard rock, day after day, week after week, year after year, with absolutely no expectation of finding gold or something? It'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Why would you go fishing in a pond where there was no fish? When we go fishing, we're hoping to catch something. We have an expectation. When we go to the Word of God, we should go expecting to get something. Many people spend their whole life searching the world for happiness, for treasures, for things that rot and rust and break, are stolen. But the greatest treasures are right under our noses in God's Word. Matthew 6:20 tells us to store up our treasures in heaven. There's an old story, you may have heard it, I know it's on a track, and I read one article that said it was actually a true story where this guy was graduating from college. And his dad was pretty rich. And this guy had had his eye on this car, this fancy hot rod that he liked. It was probably back in my days. It was probably a 1969 Camaro or something like that, or a Vette, you know, one of those kind of cars, or maybe a Mustang or something like that, all fancy, whatever it was. He's really wanting this car, and he's getting ready to graduate from college, and he knows his dad's got the money, and he's really expecting something big from his dad. So it comes along, it's graduation day, and he walks into the house, and his dad welcomes him and says, "Son, I just want you to know, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you for graduating from college. I'm so blessed you've been such a good son, and I've got something for you." He's getting all happy. He goes over to his desk and he pulls out this nice box, and the guy's thinking, like, what the heck's in a box? And he opens it up, and it's a nice leather-bound Bible with gold lettering of his name. And he got so mad when he received that Bible that he just threw it back down on the desk, walked out, and said, with all your money, you buy me a Bible? What kind of a father are you? So he left his father and never went back to see him. He got married, became very successful. He was getting a little older, and he started thinking about his life, and he realized, man, I haven't seen my dad since that day I left. I was pretty bad to him. I need to go back and see him. So he's telling his wife, he's planning to go back, and then he gets a phone call that his dad just died. And it was the lawyer telling him, you need to come, and, you know, he left everything that he had to you in his will. Here I go again. So he goes home, and the first thing, he starts looking around in his office and looking at his dad's papers, and there's that box right in the top drawer of his desk, and he opens it up and looks at the Bible. And he opens it up and he starts to look in, and he sees that his dad had underlined some verses for him. And as he starts to read, a key drops out with a tag on it, telling him to go pick up his car. Broke down right there. His dad just wanted him to know that the Bible was a treasure, and you can find treasures in that word. It's more valuable than a car. But he still gave him the car. We have to believe God's word to the point where we not only know it, but where we act on it. Do not deceive yourselves, it tells us in James there, you know. Don't just listen to the word, but do it. What good is a treasure map if we don't follow it? If we don't go find the treasure? Moses chose the treasures of heaven rather than the treasures of this world. You know, he grew up in a palace. He could have had anything he wanted. He could have had a fancy car, if they had them. Could have had a fancy chariot. Could have lived in luxury and had all he wanted. But instead, Hebrews 11:25 tells us that he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater than all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Because he had great expectations of what God was going to do. And boy, did he. Think about all that Moses went through. All the great things he saw, the wonderful miracles of God. Because he expected God to take care of them. He expected God to get them through. He had an expectation that God would move mightily, and he did. Another way to cultivate an expectant heart is through prayer. Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. David. Matthew 7:7, and ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. God is trying to make it abundantly clear that he wants to have this relationship with us and that he wants to bless us in this relationship. He wants to be our provider. He wants to be there and give us what we need. He wants to take care of us. He loves us. Now, of course, God is not a vending machine, as some people think. They think they can just put in their quarter or put their prayer in the vending machine, and out pops whatever promise they want, right? It doesn't quite work that way. James 4, 2 and 3 says, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you might spend what you get on your pleasures. See, again, he's talking there about the people who are want the things of this world. The things that, you know, they're going after the things that are not of God. And of course God's not going to give us that. He's not going to do that. Just imagine our kids asking us for something we know is not good. Why would we give it to them? Daddy, can I have a chainsaw? Our little four-year-old asks, you know, sure, son. Here, try it out. Go out and back. Can I have one of those fillet knives and a kitty? You know? No! You know, I mean, our kids could ask us for anything, and we would see like warning signs going off like crazy. And you know what? We ask for things that are probably crazier than that. We just don't realize it. And even as imperfect parents, we know that our kids can't have whatever they want. We have to set limits. We have to have boundaries. We have to do what's right for them, what's good for them. And God, in all His wisdom, wouldn't give us what is not good for us. He won't give us what would harm us or destroy us. That's not how our God is. It's His good pleasure to bless us. He wants us to seek Him and seek His will. To seek first His kingdom, and then all these things will be added unto you. One last scripture. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. To be watchful, if we're going to be watchful, that means we're what? We're expecting, right? What do they call that when you're having a baby? What do you say? I'm expecting. What are you expecting? A baby, right? So you're waiting for this baby to come out, and the expectation just keeps growing, you know? As the days draw closer, you're more and more, you're planning, you're preparing, you're really looking for this baby to come out. So you have to be watchful. How can we ask for something and then not look for it? You ever order something online and then just don't wait for it? You start wondering where it is. What if it doesn't come after 2 weeks and it was Prime? It's supposed to be there in 2 days. Where is that thing? You know, we're looking. Before you know it, we're calling. Where is it? We need to look to God. Look for God, actually, to work in any situation, in every situation that we find ourselves in. We need to trust that He is working out all things to our good. That's how He does it. When we're walking according to His purpose, and we love our God, and we love Him, that means we're obeying Him. So that means we're in His will. So that's how that works. And then everything we're doing works to our good. And then the same verse tells us to be thankful. Being thankful fills us with joy in our heart as we recognize all the good things that we've gotten from the hand of God. And it also trains us then to recognize that all these things that we have, we did receive from God. And if we received from Him in the past, then that means you would think that we could probably receive from Him in the future, right? Because that's how God is. So the more thankful we are, the more we recognize God has blessed us, the more we just keep looking for more. God is the source of all of our blessings. Our Father in heaven, every good gift comes down from Him, right? His mercies never cease, neither do His blessings. That's why God wants us to be in a continual state of expectation. Every day should be, what's God going to do today? God, what do you want me to do today? God, what's your word teaching me today? What is your Holy Spirit? Where are you leading me today? God wants us to always be ready to hear his word, to find his direction, to be led by his Holy Spirit, God wants us to see his provision for us in whatever situation we're in. He wants us to always have his Holy Spirit, to be filled over and over and over with his Holy Spirit. So we have to look for that filling. We need to look for his help because he wants to help us. He's an ever-present help, remember? His power. He has this incomparably great power for us who believe. That means we should be looking for this power to be active in us. God wants us to always be ready to go anywhere, to do anything, to receive everything that he has for us, expecting that he will be right there beside us when we go on our way, and he'll be leading. God wants to enlarge our hopes. He wants to enlarge our expectations of him, of our thirst for him, of our future in Christ, of our future reward. The more we hunger for him, the more he's going to fill us up. That's why he tells us to open up our mouths wide. Open wide your mouths, and I will fill it. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I'll tell you what, this, as I was doing this message, I was preparing, God really just spoke to me how important expectation is. If we're not looking, we're probably not getting. So we need to have our eyes open to see what is God doing in my life today, right now. You know, when we go through problems, when we're stuck in the middle of a real trial, start looking. God, what can I do here for you? How can this be worked out to your glory? How can you use this situation to do something? He'll give you something. He'll give you something. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that you are a God who we know that we can trust. A God who is always there for us, always providing, always helping, always loving, always merciful, always good to us. Thank you that we can have great expectations about what you're going to do in our life. Lord, give us an expectant heart. Fill us up with expectation about what you're going to do every single day, Lord God. Even here, right now, Lord, I pray for these who are praying here today, Lord, I pray that you would anoint them, that as they lay hands and as they pray, Lord, that they would expect that their prayers would be powerful and that those who would receive prayers would expect a powerful blessing coming. Because we know it's all you, Lord. It's not us. It's you. Lord, I just pray your blessings would flow powerfully into this body. I pray for great expectation even for next weekend when the Tuesdays are here. For all of our meetings this week, Lord God, that you're going to work something great. For everything that we do every day, Lord God, just bless it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.